This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to stay tuned to the St. Pete City Hall broadcast from RadioSt.Pete.com. The City Hall broadcast is a podcast designed to give you an informal look inside your city government. Here is your host, Will Kuntz.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the City Hall broadcast. Will Kuntz back with you. Kevin King is here, and the return of Mr. Ben Kirby. Ben, what's up, man?
How so good to be back.
Yes, we missed you last week.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
It was a very productive talk, though.
I heard it. It was a good show.
I learned a lot about recycling,
yeah.
And a lot about myself, I think, more importantly.
You know, that's what this is really about, Will. It's your self-discovery.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here.
It was good. Jeff Donnell was great.
It was a good show.
I told him afterwards, I hope I didn't offend him, because I was like, it's kind of a mundane topic, no offense, but I felt like I learned a lot. It was very interesting.
Kyle, did you listen to the Jeff Donnell show?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
Kyle is our sound extraordinaire machine.
That's just the one he missed. He's heard all the rest, though.
Every other one he's heard, for sure.
How about this weather, huh?
Man.
Good weather.
I couldn't believe it. The clocks went back, or forward, I mean, and it was like 70 degrees outside, and it was dark at 8 p.m., and I was so excited.
I'm into that. Lighter later is my thing.
It's wearing off now. As I was walking here today, I noticed that it was heating up quite a bit, but the air is still nice outside. But that won't last too much longer, so we got to enjoy it.
I always like to do a good segue, right?
Yes.
You know me, I'm known for my
segues. Yes, you are.
And that's a good segue because the weather is so important to our next guest.
That was a shockingly good segue.
It was very good.
Yes, our guest is the Public Works Administrator, Claude Tankersley. Claude, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good. I'm glad. I know you have a tough job here in the city, especially the past year.
It has been a lot of fun, actually, because it's been a challenge, and I like challenges.
So introduce yourself to our mothers and the other few people that listen to the show.
Okay. I'm the Public Works Administrator, and I have four departments: water resources, stormwater, engineering, and fleet. But most everybody, I'm sure, has heard all about the water resources because of the sewage crisis we had last summer.
Didn't something happen with that recently where things are starting to get kind of moving
Absolutely.
On being fixed?
Yes, it did. We actually had a groundbreaking on Monday of our first new injection well. We already have 10 injection wells, and we're adding 6 more. And so we started drilling on our first new one on Monday. And the nice thing about this particular injection well is normally an injection well, it takes about 18 to 24 months to go through the process of permitting, design, and construction. But because we knew we needed to get this in the ground as soon as possible, we've had the permitting agencies, DEP, the purchasing department, everybody has been pulling together, and we're getting this done in 7 months. And so this well is going to be drilled 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Going to be finished in 120 days. Just the construction alone normally takes over a year. We're going to get it done in 120 days.
Now, I know what an injection well is, but for people who might not know, could you explain what that is?
Absolutely. So we depend on our reclaimed water system to get rid of our treated wastewater. We treat our wastewater to reclaimed water quality that we then send out to our customers who use it to irrigate their lawns. But during wet events, people don't want to irrigate their lawn while the nature is doing it for them. And so they don't use as much reclaimed water during those periods. So during those periods, we have to send the water somewhere. So we send that reclaimed water down deep wells, 1,000 feet into the ground, into a saltwater aquifer that's just as salty as the Gulf and the Bay, where the reclaimed water goes down there, where it then is just stored in that location. And so one of the things that we had last summer was that we had so much water coming into our system, and we were treating it to such a high degree, so much of it, but we were having problems getting rid of it. And so this will help us get rid of that water that we're able to treat to reclaim the water quality.
So what's the difference between sewage and reclaimed?
So sewage is untreated water. So it's water mixed with solids that we give to it through our kitchens and bathrooms and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's sewage. Reclaimed water is the byproduct of cleaning that sewage. So we go through a very complex treatment process where we remove those solids, we remove the pathogens, we return the water to a usable product. And that's what's called reclaimed water, because it's been reclaimed from the sewage state.
Now, you can't use reclaimed to drink or bathe with or something like
that. It is not recommended to drink or bathe with. It's not approved as of yet to drink and bathe with. I personally have drunk it, but I'm not telling people to do that. That's the level of degree of treatment that we take it to. It is clean water. And that's why our citizens have been using it to irrigate their lawns for 40 years without any problems.
We actually sometimes will walk in his office and we catch him drinking reclaimed water.
God, put the reclaimed water down, man.
It's really something.
I have a special little refrigerator under my desk.
Yeah.
Got a little side business cooking with reclaimed water. So where did you grow up? Are you from this area?
I'm from Florida. I grew up in Jacksonville and spent most of my life up in the North Florida area. I went to the University of Florida in Gainesville and spent up until about age 40, I was up in the Jacksonville-Gainesville area and was a private engineering consultant providing engineering services to cities like St. Pete. One of my former clients was the city of Bradenton, and at the age of 42, the city of Bradenton hired me to become their director. So that's when I came down this area.
And then when did you get to St. Pete?
A year ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just celebrated my one-year anniversary.
Got headhunted?
Yeah. A little more than a year, right?
A little more. February 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah, February 22nd was my one-year anniversary. Yeah.
And I heard you got a phone call directly from Mayor Rick to come here.
I did. I was enjoying myself down in Bradenton and was anticipating just filling out my career down there. And the mayor called me and wanted to talk to me. And so I said, well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm honored. I'll come talk to you. But I really like it down here in Bradenton. But they sold me on the opportunities here in St. Pete, and I'm glad I made the switch. The
mayor called him and said, Claude, how'd you like a shot at ruining your life?
The toughest job in the country. Yeah. So I guess I was going to ask what has been the main challenges of your position here. I think everybody knows that, though. The wastewater has been the big thing. So you have the ejection well going. What are some other things that are happening to kind of shore up that sure. problem?
So last summer, our biggest problems were the treatment and disposal. And so we are doing some fast-track projects to increase our treatment and disposal. So we are moving forward with doubling our filtration capacity at the two plants that were affected, Northwest and Southwest, and to add 6 more injection wells, to go from 10 to 6 injection wells. And by doing those two improvements, we will be able to handle another Hermine-size type storm. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. On a normal average day here in the city of St. Pete, we have about 38 million gallons per day of wastewater going to our plants. During the dry season like this, we might have 23 million gallons per day going to our three treatment plants. During Hermine, because of groundwater and rainwater getting into our collection system, we had over 150 million gallons per day during that storm. So, our problem is not on a daily basis. Our problem is not capacity to treat the people we have in St. Pete or even the people we plan to have in St. Pete. Our problem is when we have a heavy storm with a lot of water, the groundwater rises, there's a lot of flooding in the streets, that water gets into our collection system, then sent to our plants, and our plants become overwhelmed.
So, I mean, the city of St. Pete was not the only city in Tampa Bay that had this problem, but for some reason, was it just because of the volume that did spill, that was the real issue, that we were the most?
We had several hundred million of gallons that we discharged, purposefully discharged, and the reason why I say purposely discharged is that we had to make a choice of allowing the raw sewage to spill out into the streets or spill into people's homes, or the option of getting all that raw sewage into our plants, knowing that we won't be able to treat it completely, but we could treat it to some degree, and then discharge that partially treated wastewater to the bay. And that was, we felt that for human health and comfort, that was the better of the bad options. And so that's what we did.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. When this whole thing was going on, I kept thinking to myself, nobody likes that this is happening, of course. No, nobody. But I really would not want it in my house and in my apartment. So I think you made the right call for the most part.
Thank you.
And I think, it's good to see these improvements happening. How long did you, what was the, when did you know this was a problem?
Well, I knew it was a problem coming in because of the events that happened in 2015. What we didn't anticipate was to have two more storms in 2016 that would overwhelm us. So I was hoping that the 2015 event was kind of a once every 5 year type thing that we could then recover from it and make our improvements. When we had the two events last summer, that's when we realized that we really had to step on the gas and do things in an unusual way to get them done more quickly. So we have been taking on new procurement opportunities. We've worked with the permitting agencies to fast track our projects. We've been working with our engineers and contractors to fast track the projects. The mayor's been very supportive. You know, he came up with a $300 million plan over the next 5 years that he's told me I have to get done, and I'm going to get it done. And the council has been very cooperative in helping us allocate the monies to get it done.
Claude just mentioned that plan. If people, it's actually laid out if they go to stpete.org/water data. The plan is all laid out, cost and even progress that Claude's making and things like that.
What kind of things are in that, the water data, stpete.org?
Well, there's a lot of things on that particular webpage, but the very first thing at the top is it says I think Christman's infrastructure plan.
Okay.
And it's, again, there's some map. There's a cool map that shows leaky pipes, where pipes have been fixed and pipes we still have to work on. A lot of other things, the things like cost, what is that $300-something million going to, injection wells, other things. And so it really lays it out for folks to see what's going where.
I would add, you know, the whole past couple of years, year and a half, hasn't been a lot of fun as it relates to this topic, but I think everyone from the mayor down is still hopeful and optimistic and kind of excited about the fact that we're building something, that we're putting the money in, we're building it, that we can be proud of. A lot of cities aren't doing this work and around the country and need to be. I think the grades came out recently for the state or for the nation again. You know, our infrastructure is failing across Florida and America. When I say America, I feel like that.
America. There's no A up there. It's just America.
Around America. And it kind of, I'm sure Claude kind of sees this. It feels good to do something.
Yes.
I mean, these guys are working on something and they're fixing the city.
Yes.
And we're going to look back and be like, all right, that was kind of messy, but the city's a lot better off.
I am a civil engineer by training and trade. And in 2001, the American Society of Civil Engineers came out with its first report card on the state of infrastructure in the United States. And ever since then, they come out every few years with an updated report card. So that's 16 years now we've been coming out with these report cards from the engineers that have been showing that throughout the United States, the infrastructure is in dire need of work. And, you know, in some categories, they give the infrastructure a grade of a D, and some of them a C. When I say infrastructure, I'm talking not only about wastewater and water, but also roads and bridges and airports and dams. Look what happened in California just a couple of months ago with the dam in Oroville. And, you know, it was revealed that they've known for a while that dam might have some problems, and then it was tested, and sure enough, it did. So this is an issue that the engineers have known for a while and been trying to spread the word, but it takes a while for the word to get out.
Why do you think we have this problem with our infrastructure crumbling? I know it's expensive, obviously. It's a lot to do, but being an engineer, I guess part of your job is to figure out solutions maybe that may be more cost-effective. So why is this happening?
I think it's because we have forgotten about the infrastructure. We were so successful in putting in the infrastructure 50, 80 years ago, and a lot of it is underground where people don't see it. And so we were so successful in doing it and putting it in that then once it was in, we kind of forgot about it. And unfortunately, any infrastructure requires regular, repetitive maintenance and repair and improvement. And when something is underground and it seems to work day after day, year after year, you tend to forget until all of a sudden it doesn't work. For instance, a lot of people will experience at some point in their lives where roots from a tree may grow into their drains that are in their property. And that takes many years for that to happen, but they don't know about it until all of a sudden when they go to take a shower, the water's not going anywhere. And then all of a sudden it's a problem. So I believe that we are now waking up to the fruits of our success means that we can't just, you know, sit around and not do anything about it. We have to constantly maintain it and keep up with it.
Yeah. I had no idea that this really was a problem. I didn't even know you had to pay for garbage. I thought that was just a thing until a couple of years ago when I finally figured that out.
And that shows how successful we've been in providing those services, that people don't even think about it.
Yeah, we're spoiled, though. We should know.
We are spoiled. And, you know, you go to other countries, you go to the islands, people see their garbage piled up on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. It's a constant daily thing to have wastewater in the Caribbean Sea or wherever it may be. We kind of take it for granted here.
And look how far we've come. My mother, who's still alive, she lives with me. She grew up on a farm in Virginia with a well that they had to put the bucket down and pull the water up, so they had no running water, and with an outhouse with no electricity. And her first mode of transportation was a horse and a buggy. And in her lifetime, she's reached the point where we not only have conquered all those things, but the way we conquered them now is a little bit old, and we need to conquer them again. So we've done a wonderful thing with our infrastructure. We just have to remember not to forget that we have to constantly maintain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a full-time job for sure, and I guess we're finding that out now. So you do the wastewater, and then you also do just regular water. So where does our regular water come from? I'm assuming it's just the aquifer down below, but that's all I know.
Sure. So you are somewhat correct, but it does not come from the aquifer below us here at St. Pete. The aquifer below us at St. Pete is not usable for drinking water. It is salty, and the majority of it is the same level of salinity and saltiness as the bay and the Tampa Bay and the Gulf of Mexico. So many years ago, back in the 20s, I believe it was, the St. Petersburg City Council and Mayor bought property up in Hillsborough County, put in well fields in Hillsborough County where the groundwater is better, and then pumped it into the city. And that's the original water system for the city of St. Petersburg. Over time, our system has been absorbed into what's called Tampa Bay Water. And so we no longer own those well fields. Those well fields are now owned by Tampa Bay Water. Tampa Bay Water then sells us that water. We treat it at our plant that happens to be in Hillsborough County. It's called the Cosme plant, and then we pump it into the city for distribution.
When you say pump it into the city, literally from their pipelines on the way here?
Two 23-mile-long pipelines.
And then it goes into a main facility, and then, like, these pipes from your house run to these things,
yep.
And then...
You got it. So we have two...
It's amazing. You guys aren't impressed by this? I'm just thinking about all the lines that are all over the place.
I tell Claude every day how exciting this stuff is to me. I mean, we've learned a lot. And the more we learn, the more excited we get. It's fascinating.
It is. It truly is.
So,
yeah.
So if I can do a public service announcement, if there's any young people out there wanting an exciting career, go into civil engineering. It's very exciting. It's a lot of fun.
We got to finish talking about the water.
All right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You had more questions on the water?
Go ahead. I was thinking of one.
So the water, this is a gravity system? How does this work? No, the gravity is the wastewater.
Gravity is the wastewater. The water is under pressure.
It's pressuring. So there's been talk in the past of how do we know if our line is compromised, the pipe is compromised. And because it's under pressure, we'd see
the
obvious
leaks.
Quick results
yes.
or consequences of that, right?
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. There's several different ways we can know if we have leaks from our pipelines. One, we will see it.
Right.
Another way is that we know how much water we produce at the Cosme plant. We know how much water we sell to our customers. If we start to see a difference between those two numbers, we know we're losing water somewhere.
All right.
So that's another way.
Is that just losing to the ground?
If there's a leak in one of the pressurized pipelines, yes. It would be, especially if it's a small enough leak that it doesn't bubble up so you see it. It could be lost down into the ground.
How much water is in that aquifer that the Tampa Bay Water owns? Like, is there... I'm sure it changes all the time.
Trillions of gallons.
Trillions of gallons. And it always kind of gets replenished, right? Because it rains and then it runs back down. And
when we have a good rainy season, yes. Now, if you recall during the 2000s when we had a long-term drought for 10 years, we had some problems. The groundwater was dropping during that period because it wasn't being replenished.
And that right now they have that big reservoir, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
They use that for water, drinking water?
That's one of their sources.
And then they built that crazy desal plant.
Yep, that's another of their sources.
That they don't really use a whole lot.
So the wisdom of Tampa Bay Water is that they don't rely on just one source. They rely on multiple sources, groundwater from wells, the reservoir, which is surface water, and then the desal plant. And then they take the water from those sources, they blend them together, and then send them to their customers.
So they do the desalinization.
Mm-hmm.
And then so the criticism with that is, because that seems like a no-brainer, you got a bunch of water right over here.
Right.
But what are you going to do with the salt?
There you go. What do you do with the brine?
And it's real expensive.
It's very expensive.
We toured it. It was crazy.
Yeah, the energy to run a desal plant is very high. Now, the technology continues to improve, and at some point I anticipate that it'll become more competitive. But right now, it is the most expensive of those sources I talked about. It's the most expensive one.
Is it expensive because of the energy that it takes?
The energy it takes, the technology, and then the disposal of the brine.
Mm-hmm. You can't just dump it back into the water.
No, you can't just dump it back in the water, not at all.
So what do they do with that stuff? And you can you use it as like salt for
margarita.
That you put on your food?
Margarita.
Yeah, that type of stuff.
Rim a margarita.
No, is that possible?
That's right.
No, if you've never done Cinco de Mayo at the desal plant, it's really one of the best days of the year.
right. Yeah. So we have to dispose of it back in a way that it does not shock the environment. So
yeah, you can't put it in the ground either, I guess.
So if you imagine the bay has a certain level of salinity that the ecology, the organisms living in the bay are accustomed to this level of salinity. If all of a sudden we dumped really high salt concentrations right on top of them, it would freak them out. Might kill them, but it would definitely harm them. So we have to find a way of disposing it in such a way that it does not harm the ecology. And Tampa Bay Water has conquered that.
So it does get put back in the bay.
It does not directly into the bay, but it does get put back into the environment in a way that does not damage the environment.
Huh? Do you see that kind of in the future? Maybe that being the main source of our water?
I don't think it necessarily needs to be the main source. We as long as we continue to monitor and operate the aquifer responsibly, we can continue to have that as a source. We can continue to use surface water as a source. So I think the smartest thing for us to continue to do is to have multiple sources of the water.
Did I read something? I feel like I did. Maybe I'm wrong. But didn't St. Pete have a very high rating on its tap water as being one of the best in the country not too long ago?
And we often get awards for having good quality water, yes.
Okay, so I'm not crazy. Yeah. That's
You're
good.
Not crazy.
We have good water.
You're not crazy.
If I remember too, I'm sorry, Claude. Go ahead.
Well, we take when Tampa Bay Water sends us water, they send us
treated water, and
we treat it again.
That's what I was just gonna say. Mm.
Is that not? Most people don't do that around here.
Mm-mm, no. And we do that because our citizens grew accustomed to the good quality water that we always had. And that good quality water always came from a single source, and that was the aquifer, the groundwater wells. Tampa Bay Water gives us a blended water, which is still good quality water, but it's not. It's a little bit different than what our customers are accustomed to. So we treated it just a little bit more so that they continue to get the water that they've grown accustomed to getting.
Do you drink tap water at home?
Absolutely.
Yeah? I'd use a Brita filter. Treat it one more time.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's good. It's real good. So what about, you got engineering too. Tell me about that.
So our engineering department does all the engineering for everything that we do. So let's ignore sewage for a while and look at the new police station, the pier, our proposed new fire station, roads and streets. All of those things are done through our engineering department, and we've got a lot of really talented engineers over there.
So is this a thing where it's not like architecture where they're designing the buildings, but they're more looking about what you can do as far as wires that are coming in and plumbing and things like that?
Well, we do have a city architect who's very talented. Now, to do a project like the pier or a project like the police station would be too much for the amount of the staff that we have. And so we do hire outside consulting engineering firms and architectural firms to do those big projects. But to make sure that they're doing them well and are meeting the standards that our citizens expect, we have our own engineers and architects who manage those projects and manage those consultants.
Right on. So when's the police station going to be done?
It's the design is finishing up now. We should see groundbreaking sometime this year, and then the finished project within 2 years.
And then there's a fire station as
There's
well.
A fire station that
That's
is
more in the beginning stages?
It's in the beginning stages, yeah.
I see.
We actually have a tentative date for police station groundbreaking of April 20th.
April 20th of this year. Very good.
Thanks. Yeah.
Cool. And then the I guess the final part of your duties here is fleet.
Yes.
What is that?
Fleet. So the city owns a lot of vehicles, trucks, cars, backhoes, you know, anything that little gator, you know, a golf cart type things. And so we have thousands of these vehicles. And so the fleet department are the mechanics that maintain these vehicles. It's specifically important that I'm really proud of them is their capability and skill with maintaining our police and fire, the public safety equipment. That equipment is very specialized, and not just any old mechanic can come in and work on them. And so we have the properly licensed and trained mechanics to work on police and fire equipment, get them in and out, and get them back into service as fast as possible.
Is that mostly like people with military backgrounds, military
people
mechanics?
Of all backgrounds, yeah. People of all backgrounds. People who like to work with their hands and have that inclination, those are the people we look for and hire, and they do a really good job.
Right on. Kevin,
yeah.
I believe you have a special segment today. It's called Kevin's Trivia because we didn't come up with a name
yet. Let me get some music.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba, it's Kevin's Trivia today. Hey.
I'm thinking more like Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. We did that already.
Oh, darn.
We did already.
Will's World. Yeah. No, that's old. That's old news.
Okay.
All right, so we have Kevin's Trivia. Let me do my trivia voice. My phone's buzzing at me. So, this is wastewater trivia,
mostly.
And if you get the majority of these right, there's four of them. We have some. Ben, can you describe what we got here for Claude?
Nice. Do I have to?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, these are limited edition. Sunshines here. That's hashtag Sunshines here. St. Pete sunglasses.
Nice.
Claude. Wow. If he gets 3 out of 4.
Mm-hmm. And I'm waving my hand over him a la Vanna White.
Yes. See, that's the thing. Since this is radio, I thought you would have said that they were some nice Ray-Ban aviator
glasses.
That's
right. I could have.
I was going to mention that there was also $10,000 in cash sitting on the table.
$10,000 in cash.
Maui Jims. All right, Claude. When wastewater remains in the collection system too long, it tends to become A, septic, B, organic, C, alkaline, D, inorganic.
It becomes septic.
Very good. See, and then what's great about trivia, Kevin's trivia, is the kids at home are learning this while we're doing it.
That's right.
Which is great. Yeah,
I was hoping Claude would take a little time because I like to do the whisper repeat.
When wastewater repeats. So I'll do that on the next one.
Okay.
The primary cause of stoppage in a collection system is blank and blank. A, line breakage and roots. B, grit and roots. C, grease and roots. D, poor construction and roots. Or E, customer abuse and grease.
The primary cause.
Wow, the primary cause. Roots seemed really possible.
Roots is definitely in there, right?
Yeah, roots is kind of.
So is it construction, line breakage, grit, or grease?
Grease. Grease and roots, I would say.
I think I don't have the answer in front of me, but that sounds good.
And so public service announcement here, folks.
It's probably grease.
Do not put grease down.
Don't do it.
Do not, please.
We have a whole thing. You can call the county and get hazard material collection, right?
Yes, that's correct. And do you know why? Do you know why you don't put grease
because
down?
Because it's bad.
Yes. Oh, that's true.
It's bad.
Bad news.
Yes.
Is it acidic?
It can get gunky, and then it gets gunky.
It actually solidifies.
Yeah.
And so solidified oils and grease literally solidify into a big, huge hunk of solidified stuff that clogs up the drains.
While we're on this, just quickly, I'm sorry. I heard a rumor. Tell me if it's an old wives' tale. It wasn't in Kevin's list. Is it true that Q-tips are a big problem? For the thing.
No, Q-tips are not, but flushable wipes are.
Flushable wipes.
So another public service announcement here. Nice. Flushable wipes, they might be flushable in the fact that when you flush, it goes away, but they are not biodegradable, and they tend to clog up our system. So let me give you a little quick story. We had a blockage in one of our lines that was backing up sewage into four or five different neighborhoods.
Lakewood Estates.
There you go. You got
this.
It. You remember it.
Yeah.
In an area that we had not seen blockages before, and we were confused. What was causing this? We were finally able to find what was blocking it, and at first it looked like a mattress. And we thought, how the heck did a mattress get down into
a sewer
system?
That's not possible.
It's not possible by the size. But here was something that appeared to be the size and composition of a mattress. When we finally got down to it and started trying to get it out, we realized it was just this big, huge ball of flushable wipes. That because they don't disintegrate and they bunched up into this mattress-sized things, they clogged up the sewers and backed up into neighborhoods.
I love
so
the flushable wipes, too.
Yeah, well, don't.
I don't use them anymore. No,
put them in the trash.
I don't use them anymore because I feel guilty.
And had there been a mattress down there, the story would be story. More awesome.
Yes, it would have been.
We may change it to mattress.
We'd still be talking to, how did that mattress
That's right.
get down that toilet?
That would be a good trivia question, wouldn't it?
All right, so secondary or final clarifiers. A, remove biological solids from wastewater, increase sludge protection, increase sludge digestion, or provide dampening for high flows.
It removes the solids from the treated wastewater.
Secondary and final clarifiers, remove solids. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is, I think you've already won the sunglasses, by the way.
For sure. The mattress thing alone.
Everyone talks about the Albert Whitted wastewater reclamation facility, but do we know who Albert Whitted was or is?
Ooh, I do.
All right.
Okay, go ahead, Will.
Whoa.
Go ahead, Will.
A late breaking come from behind.
Wait, now I hope I do. He was the guy who took the first flight from Tampa to St. Pete, right?
Oh, God.
Can we get like
did I just bomb
that? What kind of bug? You're thinking of Tony Janus.
Go,
Claude Tankersley. Back to you.
So, but you're in the right vein. You're going in the right direction.
Someone
it was
flying.
Another pilot. Yeah. It was another pilot who
See,
was,
that was kind of right.
He was a St. Pete native, was a World War I veteran who became very popular in the area for giving people flying lessons and taking them up and flying. And unfortunately, he died in an accident like in 1922, 23, something like that. So, because he was so popular,
right?
They named it after him.
Nailed it.
How about a round of applause for Claude Tankersley on that?
That's great. Claude Tankersley, thank you very much for coming on the City Hall broadcast this week. Enjoy your $10,000 and your Ray-Ban shades.
Thank you.
That's going to be good. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. I want to say before we go, come out to the Hollander on April 1st. It's the poolside comedy jam at the Hollander. We got Rio Paris, John Jacobs, Zach Townsend, Joey Lundahl is going to be the host of that. I'm going to be there drinking by the pool. It starts at 1 p.m. and it goes until, I think the comedy is going to start around 8 p.m., 7 or 8. So come out. It's benefiting the Pet Pal Animal Shelter. Guys, I hope you can make it. It's going to be fun.
Well, we'll definitely be there or not, but definitely one of the two.
Very good. That's all I can
and
do.
You're 100% certain of that.
Yes. And check out the Homemade Broadcast, 6:15 Sundays, and podcast, hmbradio.com. My guests will be those comedians that I just mentioned, so it's going to be a good one. Guys, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you very much.
See you, man.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for listening to Radio St. Pete's City Hall Broadcast. An informal look inside your city government. This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to join us next time for the City Hall broadcast.